ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम नमो भगवते सवित्रे सूर्यनारायणाय ओम नमो भगवते सवित्रे सूर्यनारायणाय ओम नमो भगवते सवित्रे सूर्यनारायणाय ओम सदा शिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेद विभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम भद्रं कर्णे भिश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ओम शांति 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 ओम प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकर व्यापि भर्व्याप्य लोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुङ्मायया भोजयन्नो माया सङ्ख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् ज्योतिषस्वेन सूक्ष्मान् सर्वानेतान् पुनरपि शनै स्वात्मनि स्थापयित्वा हित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् विगत गुणगणः पात्वसौ नस्तुरीयः In the second chapter, where Gaudapada Acharya specifically focuses only to establish the fact of the world of duality, explains the waking state is mithya. It is not as real as we think. It means the perception of the universe is erroneous, The erroneous perception of the world must be corrected. At the same time, it also contributes for the ascertainment of the satyam also. Atma, the content of I, the only content of the universe, being satyam, also must become very clear. So, satyatva, atmanaha satyatva jnanam, jagataha mityatva jnanam. The knowledge of the atma being satyam, knowledge of jagat being mithya, should be there. So, this teaching is given here, and he has been explaining in his karikas, presenting the views of different Purapakshis, negating all of them. And of course, Purapakshis are the people who do not have clarity, for whom it's very difficult to accept that the world of duality experience, the waking state, is not real. So they have their own reasons, hetu. They bring their own reasons for stating why this universe, world of duality, is real. But all those reasons which they give, they present as hetu for taking this universe to be real, Gaudapadacharya negates them. Whatever the reasons they present, those reasons are not the criteria for the reality to be taken, for the world to be understood as mithya. What determines the mithyatvam is the existence. The world of duality does not have independent existence of its own at all. Which means, whenever the world of duality exists, it exists only as an appearance of the reality. So it is ever inseparable. The world in manifestation is inseparable. In unmanifestation, unmanifested condition also it is inseparable. When is the world, where is the world existing independently, separate by itself? No. In the waking state, the world exists inseparably from the experiencer. The dream world, as object of experience also, only is inseparably with the experiencer. Even the unmanifested condition also, still undefined condition also, the world exists only inseparably with the experiencer. Even though the experience is there, not knowing the existence of the experiencer, still the world always has dependent existence. The universe always has dependent existence, whether it is manifested or unmanifested, whether it is in subtle form or in a gross form. So, being an object of experience, it has only dependent existence. It exists, it depends upon experience of its existence, therefore mithya. That one fact itself is enough for the world to be negated as mithya. We don't need to give too many reasons. Again, another reason was given as the world is mithya because the world is also projected, produced, which means created. It has the status of being an effect. So because it has no independent existence, it's also looked upon as an effect. And being an effect, it is non-separate from its source of existence. Therefore also it is mithya. So karyatvam, and again it comes and goes. It has a beginning, it has an end. Therefore, it's again mithya. So karyatvam, anityatvam, grahyatvam, drishyatvam. These are the main reasons, hetus for us to arrive at the inference that this universe is mithya. Okay? But still, Purapakshis give their own different reasons. All those reasons they present are not at all really considerable reasons. a simple, of course, they present certain nature of the world of duality. Like that. And now, the latest Purapakshi whom we saw was the one. No, that have we finished. There are so many reasons. So many Hesus were given. The latest one, the last one which we saw here, the 14th Karika. Okay. See, the 14th Karika we have to see today. But before that, he was asked, if all the worlds, the subtle world of duality experience the dreaming state also is projected, therefore it is mithya. The gross world of duality experience the vacancy also mithya. Everything is mithya, which means then the mithya, for it to be here as projected, there must be the projector. So Purapakshi himself now, see, it was given the way for Purapakshi to ask this question. Everything is projected. Dream world also is a projection. So this waking universe experience also is a projection. Means there must be the projector. There must be the creator. Not only that, this world is experienced means there must be experiencer. So this paid way for the Purapakshi to ask this question. Just a simple question. Who is the projector? Who is the creator? Who is the experiencer? Then we saw beautifully the answer given in two karikas, 12th and 13th. It is the Atma. Atma, Atmanam, Atmana, Atmani Kalpayati. Atma, Atmana, Atmanam, Atmani Kalpayati. Atma projects itself by itself in itself. So what is Atma alone is in the form of the projected world. Projected world of duality. We understood this. Now we are entering to the 14th Karika, which I was supposed to see today. So here again, in spite of having already established the proper hetus, proper reasons for stating the fact the world is mithya, still another doubt is presented. What is the doubt? Swapna vathu chitta parikalpitam sarvam. Iti etad ashankyate. Already read this in the previous class. Here it is doubted that this, the world of duality experienced in the waking state also is projection of the mind only like the dream world. It is doubted. Why this doubt comes? Because the chit yasmat, because chitta parikalpitaihi manorathadi lakshanaihi chitta parichedaihi vailakshanyam bahyanam anyonya parichedyattam iti. Here, the external objects are conditioned by the objects themselves mutually. Whereas, internally experienced the dream objects are conditioned, limited by the very mind itself. What does it mean? It means the objects manifest, objects become projected in dream, and when the mind, the waker experiencer goes, along with the experiencer, objects also disappear. As long as it, in the dream, the objects which are thought forms of the objects only. The thought forms of objects, as they come, they disappear because they enjoy existence only as long as they are being perceived by the dreamer. When the dream objects are not perceived, means no more perception, means dream objects disappear. Who limits thee? What is that which brings about, which conditions the limits, the dream objects, thoughts themselves? The perception goes, means thoughts, objects also disappear. Whereas the external world of objects, the objects experience the waking state are not limited by the thoughts. Means when they're perceived, objects enjoy existence. Even after the perceiver moves away also, objects continue to exist. Which means because they continue to exist, it is not only at the time of perceiving, external world of objects exists, is also available for recognition later on. Which means objects of the external world much, much, much longer duration of existence. So that's why they are said to be dvayakalaha. They enjoy existence two points of time. Whereas the dream of the chittakalaha. Okay? Because of this difference, dream objects are only chittakalaha, waking objects are dvayakalaha, this difference is there. Because of this difference, according to this, the person who presents the doubt, what he says, the objects which are chittakalaha can be taken to be mithya, but which are dvayakalaha, why can't we take them to be real? This is the doubt. He doesn't, should be taken. He doesn't have the guts to say. Can't we take it them as to be real? Because the dvayakalaha means doubt. So, now I'm coming to the class. Okay, until I was in the previous class. Shankaracharya, first, he presents the answer. The answer comes, page number 370. Sa na yukta ashanka. The such doubt is not at all appropriate. Okay. Why? A simple one reason he gives. What a big deal about it. Chitta kalaha, dvaya kalaha. So what? See, the objects experience the waking state are chittakalaha. Sorry, objects experience the dream state are all chittakalaha. Objects experience the waking state are all dvayakalaha. This is not actually the fact. Still, even if you accept what he says, it's called accepting what he says. Still it is rejectable. As what? Kalpitaha eva sarve. So what? Even if they are chittakalaha or dvayakalaha, the duration of the existence of the time of existence is not the criteria here. All of them are projected. All of them are produced, products. Therefore, they don't have independent existence, mithya. This accepting the Purapakshi's doubt and giving an answer there itself is what Abhyupetya Vadaha. Okay? Later the Abhyupetya Vada will be gated also. Okay. So as I already explained, let us see the Karika again. Chitta kalahiyentastu kalahiyentastu dvaya kalaschaye bahihi dvaya kalaschaye bahihi kalpita evate sarve कल्पिता एव ते सर्वे विशेषो नान्य हेतुकः विशेषो नान्य हेतुकः सो विशेषः अन्य हेतुकः विशेष नास्ति डज नो स्पेशल दिस स्पेशल फीचर ओके अपार्ट फ्रॉम द स्पेशल फीचर बी अवेलेबल फॉर experience at two points of time. There is no other reason. Okay? Still what? Kalpitaha eva te sarve. All of them are projected, therefore they are mithya. Okay? Now, before we go further, why the objects experienced in the dream state are said to be chitta kalaha vishayaha? What chitta kalaha? Already explained. It's a special name. Chitta kalaha means dream objects. Dvaya kalaha are objects experienced in the waking state. Already I explained this. Yeah, yeah, of course. All the objects are chitta kalaha. All the dvaya kalaha from the standpoint of the respective experiencer. In the dream state also, there are objects chitta kalaha vishayaha, dvaya kalaha vishayaha. Why? Because in the dream state also, when the person is in dream, the person is dreaming, then the dream experience is happening, from the standpoint of the dreamer has his dream body, mind, sense complex. And the dreamer has dream inside. The dreamer also can have his own dream. The dream obtaining in the dreamer's mind, dream within the dream, there also what? Chitta kalaha vishayaha. So dreamer also, in his dream, experiences the objects which appear and disappear immediately. Chitta kalaha. From the standpoint of the dreamer also, in external world of objects, there's a dream external world which are dvaya kalaha. So from the standpoint of dreamer, within the dream world also, dream experience also, there are objects which are chitta kalaha and which are dvaya kalaha. Similarly, from the standpoint of the waker also, the dream objects are chitta kalaha for the waker from the standpoint of the waking state. And what the waker, what he's experienced in the waking state are dvaya kalaha. Therefore, the only the objects in the dream are dvaya kalaha, the chitta kalaha, or his experience in the waking state only are dvaya kalaha. This is not acceptable. Okay? This is called negation of abhyupetya vadaha. Negation of abhyupetya vadaha. This is, what does negation means? No. The objects of chitta kalaha vishayaha, dvaya kalaha vishayaha are there in dream experience also for the dreamer, from the standpoint of a dreamer. Similarly, objects of chitta kalaha vishayaha, dvaya kalaha vishayaha are there for the waker, from the standpoint of waker in the waking state also. First of all, there is nothing special about it. Okay? Second thing, if at all we accept what the dreamers, the Purupakshi says, the person who doubts, presents this doubt says, still, it is not a special feature. Okay? All are kalpitaha eva. All of them are, okay, even the dreamers chitta kalaha vishyaha, dreamers vaya kalaha vishyaha, dreamers objects of internal experience, dreamers objects of external experience, the waker objects of internal experience, waker objects of external experience, all of them are projected. Projections of the mind only. the world of duality experience subtle form or gross form does not exist outside of the mind. Projections only. That is why whenever the mind is switched off, world disappears. For when does the world exist? We see this inexplicable, you know, in the waking state we are wondering, my God, we do not know when the time begins. We do not know where the space begins. Space is inexplicably pervasive. Time is inexplicably fleeting. We do not know when the time begins, where the space begins, how these objects come and how they exist. It's a wonder for us. What this vast creation, where does it exist? Switch off your mind. Knock yourself off. The world disappears. Turn on the mind. You come back. World comes back. Where does the world exist? It's all in your mind. So, kalpitaha. Sarve kalpitaha eva. Therefore what? Mithya. Okay. This is the literal meaning of the verse Karika 14. Already I explained very clearly Chitta Kalaha and Dvaya Kalaha. Already you have written also. Now, one more point I said in the previous class. In Anandagiri's Tika, he calls them. Why he says why the object is in the Dvaya Kalaha? Because they are pratyaksha kalaha. All objects available for experience at the time of experience, they are there, pratyaksha kalaha. And they're also there, the pratyabhijna kalaha also. Also available for later on recognition also. So he uses these two terms, okay? Pratyaksha kalaha, pratyabhijna kalaha. Yodvaya kalaha. But still, Shankara Bhagavatpada, his own unique example to make us understand. Okay. I'm reading the comment, Bhashyam now, which is where I was supposed to start today. Chitta kalaha. He. Now first, Shankara Bhagavatpada comments upon the word Chitta kalaha. He says, Ye antaha tu chitta parichedyaha. Those objects experienced inside of the mind during the dream, and they are limited by, conditioned by, determined by thoughts, the mind itself. Determined by, conditioned by, limited by the mind itself. So being limit, when I say the dream objects are limited by the mind itself, means dream objects enjoy existence only at the time of perception. How long do they exist? The time duration of the existence of dream objects is the time duration of the perception only. This is what is said to be being limited by, conditioned by, determined by the mind. Okay, next word. Na anyaha chitta kala vyatirekena parichedakaha kalaha yesham. Chittakalaha, he himself explains. What is Chittakalaha? Chittakalaha means what? Those objects the time of existence of which is conditioned by the time of existence which is not conditioned by anything else other than the time of perception. Who, I'm not saying, okay? Shankara Bhagavatapada says this. Chitta Kalaha means what? Na Anyaha. Na Anyaha. Parichedakaha. There's no Parichedakaha. There's nothing which limits, conditions, determines the objects of dream experience other than the time of perception of the dreamer. So, na anyaha chitta kala vyatirekena parichedakaha kalaha yesham te chitta kalaha. The conditioner of the objects is nothing but the time of perception of the dreamer. Okay. Next, I'm moving on to next sentence. Same page. Kalpana kalaha eva. Kalpana kale eva upalabhyante ityartaha. Until all these are what? Only about chitta kalaha. Shankaracharya says again. Kalpana kale eva upalabhyante. Chitta kalaha means nothing. Please understand this. This is what chitta kalaha. They're available for experience only at the time of perception. Kalpana kale eva upalabhyante. Upalabhyante means available. Those dream objects, the thought forms of objects are available for experience. Exist only at the time of perception. Okay. How much to say? He himself said three sentences. Explain. Now you should not have any doubts. The word. Dvaya kalaha. Dvaya kalaha cha. Bheda kalaha. Dvaya kalaha means bheda kalaha. Bheda kalaha means what? The objects experienced in the waking state are said to be objects of different timings. What does it mean? Anyonya parichedyaha. Anyonya parichedyaha means all the objects experienced in the waking state are of two points of time that they are limited by, conditioned by the objects themselves. Means mutually, one object, existence of one object, conditions the existence of, the time of existence of another object. Okay. So I already said, so the objects experienced in the waking state are available for experience at two different points of time. When at the time of perception and also later on the time of recognition. This is one point. Another point is given how they mutually condition. We have to understand. So, parichedyaha, anyonya parichedyaha means they condition each other, means all the objects mutually condition. Means what? That Shankaracharya explains with an example. What does it mean by saying mutually conditioning each other? He gives, so those days, every ashram, every house must have a cow shed. Must have had some cows also. Okay. For us, very important. Having cows at home, having houses, cows in the ashram, very, very important. If this government allows, we can have some cows here also. But it is not all of it, isn't it? Okay. Yatha godohanam aste. Very nice to have cows. You all must come to Manjikudi. Puji Swamiji's birthplace once, okay? I've been inviting all of you many times. All must come once into Swamiji also. will make nice, because we have beautiful Goshala there. So it just comes to your mind, so I'm telling you. So okay, here, out of track, sorry. Godohanam aste, yatha godohanam aste. See, godohanam means milking of the cow, dohanam. You all heard the word dogdha, dogdhi in Bhagavad Gita, Dhyana Shloka. So dohanam means milking. Yatha godohanam aste. Exactly how the milking of the cow is. Okay. What does he say? Yavat aste tavad gam dogdhi. Yavad aste tavad gam dogdhi. So there is a person, he doesn't say explicitly say, okay. There is a person, he stays there in a place. How long does this person stay there? The question comes, how long does this person stay? The time of duration of the time of existence of this person. Let us take him as a milkman. Okay, a Gopalaha. This Gopala, I'm just adding the name, okay. This Gopala stays there. How long? Yavat aste tavad gam dogdhi. As long as his Gopala stays there, so long he milks the cow. Tavat gam dogdhi. Gam dogdhi means he milks, he is milking the cow. So this act of milking the cow is an object here. Takes place. Determined by what? The act of milking of the cow is determined by the duration of the time of the stay of the Gopala. Okay? But he is the only who has milk. So when he is there, the milking is happening. So this act of milking is determined by, conditioned by, limited by what? Gopala's presence. Okay? One thing. Similarly, yavat gam dogdhi tavad aste. So yavad aste tavad dogdhi. Yavad gam dogdhi tavad aste. So how long does he stay? Again, his stay also, the time of his stay also, is conditioned by the act of milking of the cow. Once the milking job is over, he'll go. What is that which limits, conditions, determines the duration of time of the milkman's stay? In the act of milking of the cow. So here this is how mutually conditioned. One existence of a given thing, the duration of the time of existence of a given thing is conditioned by the duration of the time of an other thing. So Gopala's stay, the time of duration of Gopala's stay is conditioned by the act of milking of the cow. The act of milking of the cow is determined by the time of his stay there. It's called mutual conditioning. Anyonya parichedanam. Yatha godohanam aste. Yavad aste tavad gam dogdhi. Yavad gam dogdhi tavad aste. Now he says, tavan ayam etavan saha. Tavan ayam etavan saha. Means what? That much is this much. As long as that happens, so long this happens. As long as this happens, so long that happens. This is what is meant by the word tavan eva etavan, etavan eva tavan. Tavan ayam etavan saha. Tavan ayam etavan saha. That happens as long as this person is, this happens as long as that person is. This is the meaning here. Iti paraspara parichedya parichedakatvam bahyanam bhedanam. This is how there is, this is how there is mutual, all the external objects have the status of being mutually limiting and being mutually limited. Okay? Mutually limiting and mutually limited. Bahyanam Bhedanam Paraspara Parichedya Parichedakatvam Asti. Means what? There is all these external objects, experience the waking state, have the status of being the Parichedakaha and being the Parichedyaha also mutually. They are conditioners, also conditioned. The status of being the conditioners and being conditioned. And the status of being the determiners and being determined. So there's mutual, they're all mutually conditioned. They're mutual conditioners also. Understand? Parichedakaha, parichedyaha. So, bahya beda, bahyaha beda, external objects experienced in the waking state are parichedakaha, they're also parichedyaha. Therefore, te dvayakalaha, therefore what? They are, they're available at two different points of time. Dvaya kalaha antaha chitta kalaha bahyaha cha dvaya kalaha. Now Acharya says, answer comes, it is Gaudapacharya's answer. Purapakshi's doubt is in the first sentence. Sarve kalpitaha eva. Now having heard this six times from me, you must memorize it. Sarve kalpitaha eva, sarve kalpitaha eva. All are equally projected, irrespective of whether they exist only at the time of perception, only at two points of time, being the parichedakaha, being the parichedyaha, whether the objects are there as limit conditioners, determiners, the objects are there as the conditioned, the limited objects. That doesn't matter whether mutually conditioning or not. All come and go. All are projected. Therefore what? All are mithya only. Na bahyaha dvayakalatva viseshaha kalpitatva vyatirekena anyahetukaha. Very nice. For this, you have already English, you must go to next page, 371. So, even this object, what he says in this, bahyaha dvayakalatta viseshaha na kalpitatva vyatirekena anya hetukaha. Even the objects experience the waking state, okay, though they are connected to the two points of time, still all of them are projected only. It's also projected only. There's nothing special other than this, okay. They are distinct, they are different, means what? Apart from this being available for experience, the two points of time, nothing special, there's no other special feature. They're all projected only. So they're also mithya. So this obvious having the dvayakalatvam should not be taken as a criteria to say that they are not mithya. They are all mithya only. Okay. Now, finally, he one more sentence. Atra api hi swapna drishtanta bhavatyeva. Even here, with reference to this example also, swapna drishtanta bhavati. Mean what? This example of dream, the dream experience being given as an example, is appropriate here also. So the hetu, the drishtanta, always drishtanta given, example given is what? The dream only. So it's appropriate. Just as dream objects are mentally projected mentally or mithya, the object explained the waking state also projections only, they are also mithya. Okay. With this, the 14th karika is over. Therefore, this example or illustration of the dream experience is perfect example. Okay. Now we move on to the next. 15th karika. One more much simpler doubt is presented here. What is that? Avyakta eva yentastu. Avyakta eva yentastu. For this 15th karika, Shankar Bhagavad does not write any big introduction because simple information is given here. It's very easy to just, negate it. Avyakta eva yentastu. Avyakta eva yentastu. Sputa eva chaye bahihi. Sputa eva chaye bahihi. Kalpita eva te sarve. Kalpita eva te sarve. Visheshastvindriyantare. Visheshastvindriyantare. Avyakta eva yentastu. Avyakta eva yentastu. Sputa eva chaye bahihi. Sputa eva chaye bahihi. See, the word sputa also means spashta. That came to mind. Spashta, sputa mean the same. I combine it as pushta, okay? It's like dream. Avyakta eva yentastu. Avyakta eva yentastu. Sputa eva chaye bahihi. Sputa eva chaye bahihi. Kalpita eva te sarve. Kalpita eva te sarve. Visheshastvindriyantare. Shastvindriyantare. So now, avyaktaha eva ye antaha. Tu sputaha eva cha ye bahihi. See, ye, the word ye is a relative pronoun, which means those which. Ye. So ye is a magnitude pronoun, so we have to understand ye bhavaha. The word bhavaha is not given here. It implies. Relative pronoun simply given. Those which. Those which means what? Those objects. Ye bhavaha, ye bhedaha. Those objects. Antaha, which are inside of, which are experienced in the mind, inside in the mind, which are of the thought forms of objects. Those objects, those thought forms of objects, which are experienced inside of the mind, they avyaktaha eva. You must be very careful here to understand the meaning of the word avyaktaha. Okay? See, vyakta. Vyakta literally means what? Let me make it very clear. We use the term quite avyakta, 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 avyakta. See, vyakta means manifested. Manifested means what? Being perceptible. Being perceptible is being manifested. Avyakta means what? Unmanifested means not being perceptible. So not being perceptible means non-recognizable also. Isn't it? That is totally avyakta. Suppose in sleep, when you in sleep, objects are totally avyakta. No swapna prapancha, no jagrat prapancha. There's no, the gross universe experienced in the world, the subtle experience in the world, totally unmanifested, totally imperceptible, totally not available for experience. That is avyakta. Actually, that's the actual meaning. But here, the word avyakta in this karika is not used in the sense of totally not being available for experience. The dream objects are available for experience within the mind, but they are not clear. They are not as clear as the objects experienced in the waking state. When you compare, from this again, the person who presents the arguments or presents arguments only from the standpoint of a waker. Because this is where they can recollect the experience. This is where they can analyze the experiences. This is only in the waking state they can recollect the experiences, analyze the experiences, arrive at the conclusions of the experiences also. But they forget, we have to understand the dream from the standpoint of the dreamer. So here also the same, though, he's a very simple person. So, ye antaha, ye bhavaha antaha, avyaktaha yeva. They are all not at all clear. See, from the standpoint of a waker, if he compares the object experiencing the dream with the object which he is experiencing in the waking state, definitely they are not as clear as the objects experienced in the waking state. Is it true? So he says that, whereas, ye bahihi sputaha eva, ye bhavaha bahihi, and those objects which are experienced in the waking state outside, in the external world, outside of the mind, they are very clear. Sputaha. He presents a big difference. So what? They are avyaktaha means asput. You can say asputaha. Asputaha means object, dream objects experienced in the dream inside the mind are asputaha, not clear. Whereas object experienced in the waking state are sputaha, clear. Asputaha, sputaha. In the place of avyakta, I must use the term asputa. Spashtaha, aspashtaha. Clear and unclear. So what? So, he doesn't say that. Maybe we should take the dream world as mithya, but still we can consider taking this world of duality, experience the waking state, as real. This is implied, okay? He doesn't have the guts to say, but he just says, this is the difference between the dream objects experienced in the dream state and the object experienced in the waking state. Okay? He simply presents the difference. Who? The person. That they are clear. Dream objects are not clear. Waking objects are very clear. Immediately the question comes. We have to supply now. Come on. From the standpoint of the dreamer, even dream objects are also as clear as the objects of waking state for the waker. for the dreamer, the dream objects are as clear as the objects of the experience waking state for the waker. Okay, only from the standpoint of the waker, you can say the dream objects are not as clear as the objects experienced in the waking state. From two different standpoints, objects are clear only. Sputaha eva is one point. Second thing, that is not at all a criteria. That is not that aspect of objects being clear, objects being not clear, should not be considered at all. What is the important thing? All the, whether the objects are clear or not, all of them are projected, produced, projected objects. They all have what? Being the kalpitaha, they have drishyatvam, they are objects of experience, they're time bound because they come and go, they're time bound, and they have the cause, again, adi anta abhavavatvam. Remember these four things I said? Drishyatvam, grahyatvam, anityatvam, karyatvam, adyanta abhavavatvam. Adau ante abhavatvam. All this we understood. So what? They are projected. Sarve kalpitaha eva. All of them are projected only. Then actually it's all in, he says, viseshaha indriyantare. Viseshaha indriyantare. The difference is only in what? Difference is only in the sense organs. The dream experiencer experiences the dream objects making use of the dream sense organs. He does not use the sense organs used in the waking state. The dreamer with his dream body using the dream sense organs, he is perceiving the dream objects. So for him also dream objects are clear. Sputaha. Similarly, the waker experiences the world of waking objects using the sense organs available in the waking state. The difference is only in sense organs. For what? For dreamer, dream objects are clear. For the waker, waking objects are clear. Anyway, they are all projected. Kalpitaha eva te sarve. So they are drishyaha. Ado ante abhavaha. They have that. They have time limitation. Their products. They're experienced. They do not have independent existence at all. Therefore, they are mithya. Okay, very simple. Viseshaha to indriyantare. Difference only in the sense organs. Let us quickly read this very simple bhashyam given by Acharya. Yadu api yadapi anyate avyaktam yadapi anyate avyaktatvam. Even though, see, yadapi means yadyapi. Even the objects experienced in dream, in the mind, have the status of being not clear. Bhavanam. Avyaktattvam bhavanam. Bhavanam is the objects of the dream state. Mano vasana matra abhivyaktanam sputattvam va bahi chakshuradi indriyantare viseshaha na aso bhedanam asti வேதானாம் அஸ்தித்வக்ருதா ஸ்வப்னேபி ததா தர்ஷனாத். So what he says in this context is, மனோவாசனா மாத்திர அபிவியக்தானாம் பவானம். All the objects experienced in the dream in the mind, which are projections, the manifestations of the mental impressions, subtle mental impressions. Impressions are not very clear. They don't have this. Okay. Whereas putattvam va bahi chakshuradi, chakshuradi indriyantare visheshahana so bhedanam. So even the objects experienced the waking state also had the status of being very clear. Between these objects, what is the difference? The difference is indriyantare. The special feature is, the difference is only in the sense organs. Between the objects perceived in the waking state, which are clear, and between the objects which are experienced in dream inside the mind, which are the projections of the mental impressions, subtle mental impressions, vasanaha, between them, indriyantare visheshaha, na aso astitvakritaha, swapne api tatha darshanat. The same way, even in dream also, if you ask the dreamer sees the dream objects very clearly using the dream instruments of perception. Swapne api tatha darshanat. Exactly how the waker sees the objects in the waking state, so also the dreamer also sees the same objects in the dream state the same way. So, kim tarhi, which means, how then they are clear, they are not clear, except how are they projected, how are they cast? How is this difference caused? Okay, how is this difference caused between I've experienced the dream state and in the waking state? See, this difference is caused, it is said, indriyantara kritaha eva. This difference in the appearance of dream objects, you know, the unclear dream objects, appearance of the clear waking objects is indriya krita, indriyantara kritaha. The difference is only in the instruments of knowledge. Okay, now, the instruments of knowledge alone, the difference is only in the instruments of knowledge. Two, when the waker makes use of his instruments of knowledge in the waking state, obvious persons are different. In dream, the dreamer makes use of the instruments of organs, the dream instruments of organs, instruments of knowledge. Therefore, there's a difference. There's only difference. Otherwise, objects are clear for the dreamer from his standpoint, and are clear for the waker from his standpoint. Even then, all of them are projected. So all of them are mithya. Ataha, therefore, கல்பிதாக ஏவ ஜாக்ரத் பாவாக அபி ஸ்வப்ன பாவவத் இதி சித்தம். Therefore, it is clearly understood, சித்தம், it is clearly understood that ஜாக்ரத் பாவாக அபி கல்பிதாக ஏவ, even the objects experienced in the waking state also are projections of the mind only. Like the objects of the dream, swapna bhavavat, just as objects of the dream are mental projections, I've experienced the waking state also, objects experience the waking state also projections of the mind only. Being mental projections, all are mithya. It is siddham. This is very clear. This is the final conclusion. Okay. 15th Karika is also over, very simple reason was given. Now we are moving on to the 16th Karika, very another important Karika which makes us think a lot. Okay? We all have to become fresh. Bahya Adhyatmikanam Bhavanam Itaretara Nimitta Naimittikataya Kalpanayam Kim Moolam Iti Uchyate. Okay. Bahya Adhyatmikanam Bhavanam. See, please make a note. In Shankar Bhagavad's introduction, he uses the term Bahya Bhavaha Adhyatmikaha Bhavaha. He uses the term, he says here, Adhyatmikaha Bhavaha here means objects experienced in the dream within the mind. Bahya Bhavaha, very simple, are experienced in the waking state, in the external world. But why should he use the word Adhyatmika? Generally, whenever you use the term Adhyatmika Tapaha, when you use, anything pertaining to an individual body is Adhyatmika. Isn't it? Body. But here, you can say individual also. But specifically, Adhyatmika refers only to the Antahkaranam. So, Adhyatmika Bhavaha means Manasika Bhavaha. Objects experienced in dream within the mind are said to be Adhyatmika Bhavaha. Different terms are used, like Chitta Kalaha, Adhyatmika Bhavaha. And then Bahya Bhavaha. So, all of them have Itara Itara Nimitta Naimittikataya Kalpanayam. Moolam Kim. So, in this projection or creation or manifestation of all these internal, external objects, and which are here, which are also interconnected, interrelated as causes and effects. For all this, Moolam Kim. Moolam Kim means what is the source, what is the root cause, what is the root cause of all these objects, internal and external, which are interconnected as causes and effects. See, for the ka, he uses the word nimitta. The word nimittam here used, the word nimittam sometimes means instrumental. Okay? The word nimittam here means cause. Naimittikam here means effect. Nimitta Naimittika. Nimitta means the cause. Naimittika means the effect, result. As a result of that, when you say Naimittika. So, Nimitta Naimittikataya, in the form of causes and effects. Okay? They become mutually causes and effects. Internal objects and the external objects are mutually related as the mutual causes and effects. What does it mean? The internal objects become the causes for the external experience, and the external objects also contribute for the internal experiences. As cause and effect. So, what is this? This is the internal interconnected as mutual cause and effects. What is the root cause of these objects? Iti uchyate. So in this seeming creation of external and internal objects, interrelated as cause and effect, what is the root cause? The correct translation. The question answer comes. Iti uchyate. Okay, the answer is going to come in this following karika. So Gaudapacha does not say what he is saying. Shankara Bhagavata's introduction helps us understand that he is giving answer for this question, which means 16th Karika presents the root cause of all the objects. Root cause of all the cause and effects, and the root cause of the mutual relationship also. This is a very profound verse. So much need to understand here. See, we all the time we talk about, we say Gaudapacharya did not talk about Ishvara. Really speaking, indirectly he talks about the order in this karika. See, when you talk about the moolam, the root cause of everything, you can't help mentioning the method. Method, isn't it? Means the order involved in this projection, this creation. Now, we talk about the order all the time. There is an order in this creation. There is a system. There is a method involved in this creation. So, is his method or order satyam or mithya? Mithya only. Therefore, actually, there need not be discussion at all of this order or the method in which the whole creation has come into existence, etc. But still, this has to be discussed for the purpose of understanding deep creation. The projection is the word because it's appearance. But it's actually the creation. Okay. So here, let us read mantra of Karika first. Then I'll explain the whole thing. The many things I need to understand here. Jivam kalpayate purvam. Jivam kalpayate purvam. Tato bhavan prathak vidhan. Bhavan prathak vidhan. Jivam kalpayate puram. Jivam kalpayate puram. Tato bhavan prathak vidhan. Tato bhavan prathak vidhan. Bahyanadhyatmikam shaiva. Bahyanadhyatmikam shaiva. Yatha vidyastatha smriti. Yatha vidyastatha smriti. Jivam kalpayate puram. Kalpayate puram. Tato bhavan prathak vidhan. Tato bhavan prathak vidhan. Bahyanadhyatmikam shaiva. Bahyanadhyatmikam shaiva. Yatha vidyastatha smritihi. Vidyastatha smritihi. Before we enter into this karika, one thing we have to understand, Atma or Brahma is always said to be absolute reality because it is of the nature of self-existence. It has Atma always has independent existence. Because Atma is the only reality, causeless, beginningless, changeless, endless. Therefore, being existent is the nature of the reality. Existence, why does this reality exist? Being existent is the reality, nature, sarupam. So, existence being very nature of the reality, so it has independent existence. That is why it's satyam. Which means there's no ashrayaha for Atma. There's no support, there's no dependence on the part of Atma. Therefore, we never talk about, we never accept this anyonya ashrayaha. Anyonya ashrayaha means mutual dependence. This dependent on that, that is dependent on this. Mutual dependence. Atma has no dependence at all. From the standpoint of Atma, there is no anyonya ashraya. Atma alone is, there is no second thing other than Atma for Atma to be dependent. Atma alone is there in the form of the whole jagat. The plurality is what only? Appearance, projection, appearance of the Atma. Therefore, there is no second thing is not there. Therefore, the dependence also is not there. So, anyonya ashraya, etc. is not possible there. Anyway, it's a different topic that we'll understand later. Why I'm telling you here? Because this karika is very specific karika, special karika. When the root of all the objects, root cause of all the objects is there, what is that root cause? Kim, moolam, kim? The question is asked. Here, we have to talk about the bhavas, all the objects. We have to talk about the objects. In order to help us arrive at what exactly is the moolam, such a tiny little karika, he presents the teaching, heavy teaching, where he discusses the order, discusses the method. Order or method involved in this projection or creation of this universe. Which means, this order or method involved in this creation, involved in so-called, involved in this projection, need not be discussed. But still, it is discussed for what purpose? If it cannot be discussed. But it is discussed at this point only for this purpose of understanding this creation. Only for the purpose of understanding the creation. Why should we understand the creation? Only if you understand the creation properly, we can see creation is mithya. Don't forget the topic. Now we are the second topic of second prakranam of Mandukya prakranam. The second prakranam subject matter is what? Main topic is mithyatvam of the universe. Non-reality of the universe alone is established here. How the universe is not real. To understand this fact, this universe is not real, to understand this fact also, we have to understand the method, the order, okay, in this creation. Though it is not absolutely, ultimately there. Therefore, so in this here, the Shastram presents, this fact. What is the fact Shastram presents? Even the dream which we are experiencing. Not only this, actually whenever we talk about the creation, we only think of the universe experience in the waking state only. We never think of dream. Dream comes and goes for us. When we talk about the universe, creation of the universe, we only think of the world of what you had experienced in the waking state. So definitely there is an order or system, there is a method involved in this creation. Why? Because even the dream experience, even the dream world, projection of the dream world also should not be taken for granted. Even though it is mithya, it should not be taken for granted because it has relative reality. It's relatively real, subjectively real. It is not unreal. Though it is not absolutely real, though it is not, you know, unreal, it has relative reality. With dream projection, all the, even in dream projection, there is a method, there is an order involved, which means the dream does not happen randomly. What dream it is? Once you wake up, dream has no meaning. Absolutely meaningless. But still, it is doesn't happen randomly, which means there is a proper reason. It's a cause behind it. Why it happens. Okay. So, when you say, talk about the whole creation is there, I mean, what is this creation? The creation is an object of experience. So, object of experience, object of enjoyment makes, is useful, is purposeful only if there is an enjoyer of the universe. Without the enjoyer and experiencer of the universe, the object of experience is there means it doesn't serve any purpose, it doesn't become meaningful. Now, there must be an enjoyer, experience of the world. Then the world of enjoyment, the world of experience being here becomes purposeful, meaningful. Therefore, this creation is not purposeless. This is useful, meaningful, purposeful. Okay. Again, without the creator, the universe cannot be here. And without experience alone is here, there's no object of experience. The experiencer without the object of experience also will not be appropriate. Experience is there means there must be object of experience also. Only then the creation becomes complete. It is purposeful. Okay. This is one thing we have to remember. With understanding, see, there's a lot of things that we have to really derive, the lot of lessons to derive from this teaching later on. All those I put together tomorrow. Let us see the mantra, Karika today. Okay? This is really something you have to understand so much here. Okay. So, Acharya says first, what comes first? Really speaking, Atma is the absolutely, there's no creator, there's no projector other than the Atma, which you already understood. Why? Atma, Atmana, Atmanam, Atmani Kalpayati. Already Gaurapada Acharya has given the answer. Atma, Atmanam, Atmana, Atmani Kalpayati. Should not forget this. This has been already very clearly explained and understood. Still, therefore we know very well what Atma is the Moolam. The root cause of everything is Atma only. Now the teacher said here, with simply without giving a binary answer, what is the root cause of everything? Atma. No. Instead of giving that answer directly, he says, how Atma projected, Atma created. Did Atma create? No. Atma is not the creator, not the projector, but there is no projector creator other than the Atma. Without Atma, there cannot be projector creator. Projector is only Atma. How did Atma project? Remaining as it is, by mere presence, making use of the Maya, Atma projected. Without undergoing any change, without doing any action, without moving an inch, by its mere presence, by its very nature of knowing, using this, making use of this inexplicable power of knowing called Maya, Atma projected this. Therefore, Atma is not the projector, But the projector of our universe is the Atma. Why? Because the projecting power, Maya, is inseparable from the Atma. The creative power, otherwise called projecting power, is inseparable from Atma. Okay. Now, Atma, making use of this projecting power, projected the Jivaha and the Jagat simultaneously, not one after the other. Which means there is no sequence in this projection. Which came first, which came next. There's no sequence in this creation. Simultaneously, using this Maya Shakti, Atma brought this, brought everything into manifestation. Jivaha, the experiencer, and the Jagat, the experienced world. Even though there's no actual sequence in this creation, but in understanding this creation, we must see the sequence. Got it? Nothing is created sequentially, one after the other. But still, I'm repeating the sentence. There's no sequence in the creation, in the order. There's no sequence in the order. But still, in understanding this whole creation, there is order, sequence. Okay. So first he says, Jivam kalpayate. First, Atma created Jiva. Oh, Jiva came first. As I told you, there's no sequence. Only for understanding, the sequence is what? Only for understanding. There's no actual sequence. Puram Jivam kalpayate. Atma first brings Jiva into manifestation. How Atma projects Jiva out of himself? You're going to see that. A very beautiful teaching here. Then thereafter, Tataha, Prithagvidan Bhavan. Prithagvidan, next tomorrow's class we'll take a lot of time here. Prithagvidan Bhavan Kalpayate. First, having brought Jiva into manifestation, thereafter, he also brought into manifestation this countless number of various objects, world of various objects of experience. Prithagvidhan Bhavan. Different types of objects also he brought into existence. Kalpayate projects, creates. What are those Prithagvidaha Bhavaha? What are those different types of objects of experience? Bahyan Adhyatmikan Cha Eva. He projected, created different types of objects, experienced within the mind in dream, and also experienced in the waking state outside, the external world. Bahyan, external world of objects, external objects, and also internal objects. Adhyatmikan, Bahyan, Prithagvidan Bhavan, Tataha Kalpayate. The first Jiva, then the internal, external worlds of objects he created. Okay, how did he create? Yatha Vidyaha Tatha Smritihi. The literal meaning of Iskarika will not take us any distance from where we are. It needs to be explained. Okay. So I'm just first giving you this. And one long sentence is very nice. First, Atma Puram Jivam Kalpayate. Sentence number one. Number two. Bahyan Adhyatmikan Prithak vidhan bhavan tataha kalpayate. Second sentence. So creator of creation of the experiencer jiva, creation of the experienced worlds of objects. Of experience. Then, how did he create? The artist said, yatha vidyaha tatha smritihi. This only needs a lot of understanding. Yatha vidyaha tatha smritihi. Means what? So, this creation is in keep, the whole projection is in keeping with knowledge, in accordance with the knowledge. Knowledge, okay? And also, in keeping with the knowledge, there's also memory. What is memory again? Whatever you know, that becomes stored as memory. Memory always follows the knowledge. In keeping with knowledge, there's creation. And the memory is also in keeping with the knowledge. Yatha vidyaha tatha smritihi. So in keeping with knowledge, there's a creation. In keeping with knowledge, there's a memory. What does it mean? We're going to see memory contributes for knowledge. Knowledge contributes for memory also. So they become mutually causes and effects. Now the internal objects, external objects also become mutually causes and effects. Now the jiva, okay, we're going to see how everything here is in the form of cause effect system. Nimitta naimittikani. The whole projection is constituted of what? Causes and effects. This little mean translation only. I will get to explain this. One of the very profound karikas. Some karikas are simple, some become very profound. Okay. Now I'm going to read the bhashyam. Let us understand the bhashyam here. Then I'll give the whole explanation again. He says, jivam. The word jivam is an objective case. Why? Atma jivam kalpayate. Atma alone, not directly, making use of the maya, projects the jiva first. Puram, first. And who is this jiva? Hetu palatmakaha. Jivaha hetu palatmakaha. It's another nice definition of jiva. Okay? Jivaha hetu palatmakaha. See, the jiva is in the form of cause and effect. Jiva himself is the cause. Jiva himself is in the form of effect also. How? We are going to understand this. Again, simply, jiva is in the form of cause and effect means what? The jiva is of the nature of cause and effect. Means what? What is the cause? What is the effect? How can we say that? So Shankaracharya explains. See, first sentence is what? Jivaha. Atma projects the jiva. Who is this jiva? Hetu palatmakaha. Jiva is of the nature of causes and effects. Jiva is of the form of cause and effects. Jiva is in the form of cause and effects. Oh, how can we say that jiva is in the form of cause and effects? What does it mean? So Shankaracharya explains himself. Aham karomi. I do. I perform. I do it. I only do it. Aham karomi. What is this? This sentence tells what? The doer shape. Aham karomi. This expression states what? The doership on the part of the jiva. the jiva has this strong notion, I am the doer. I do this means he considers himself to be the doer. Considering oneself to be doer is what? Having the doership. Having the status of being a doer, kartrutvam. The notion, the erroneous notion of oneself being the doer is kartrutvam. Kartrutvam is implied by the term aham karomi. Thereafter, mama sukha dukhe. I have pleasure and pain. I have pleasure and pain, but I have pleasure, I have pain. I have joy, I have grief, sorrow. Means what? In this sentence, I have, when he says, I go through, I experience pain and pleasure, means this sentence reveals what? Bhoktrutvam. Bhoktrutvam is what? The status of being the enjoyer. So Shankara Bhagavatpada presents two different statements here. The jiva is of nature of cause and effects, means how there is doership and enjoyership on the part of jiva. So jiva entertains, jiva is the one who entertains his strong notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. As the doer, he says what? When he considers himself to be the doer, he says, I do this. When he considers himself to be the enjoyer, he says what? I suffer, I go through pain and pleasure, I have pain and pleasure and pain. Mama sukha dukhe. So, in I am doing this I sense, I have impression. In Bhoktrutvam, he has sense of possession, my sense. In enjoyership, in being an enjoyer, he has my sense. In having the Kartrutvam, he has I sense. Ahankara, Mamakara. So, Jiva is the one who has doership, who has enjoyership, who has ahankara, who has mamakara, who entertains wrong notion about the self, understand? Thereby, who also superimposes limitations upon himself. Okay, so this much we understand from these two sentences. Aham karomi mama sukha dukhe ittevam lakshanam. Okay, is this jiva, who is this jiva again? That is said in next, who is this jiva? One more sentence. The jiva is in the form of cause and effect. And jiva is how, jiva is the one who entertains erroneous notions about the self in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. These are sentence expressions. Therefore, as a doer, he has ahankara. As the experience, he has mamakara also. Okay, I sense and my sense. Third, erroneous notions superimposed upon the atma only. So, we are going to understand here. Who is this jiva again? Anevam lakshanaha yeva. Shuddhe Atmani. Anevam Lakshanaha. Actually, Jiva is another than Atma himself. Jiva is Atma only. Atma is not Jiva. Jiva is Atma. If Jiva is Atma, who is Jiva? Jivaha is Atma. Means Atma is free from these wrong notions. Atma is karya karana vilakshanaha. Atma is distinct from cause and effect. Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. Even though there cannot be cause and effect without the Atma, Atma alone is the form of cause and effect, Atma is distinct from cause and effect. And Atma has no doership and enjoyership. Therefore, Atma is anevam lakshanaha. The pure reality implied by the term Atma is free from all these characteristic features. The doership, enjoyership, cause, effect, etc. Anevam lakshanaha, who shuddha Atma. Atma is absolutely pure, being free from all these characteristic features, such as, and all these attributes. All these attributes. So, anevam lakshanaha means, Atma is not who is of these attributes. Jiva has these attributes. Atma is not, doesn't have these attributes. But this Atma, anevam lakshana, anevam lakshane eva shuddhe atmani, and the part of his Atma only, rajau eva sarpam kalpayate puram. The first Atma creates the Jiva, superimposing these attributes upon himself. Atma alone projects this Jiva, superimposing these attributes upon the self, which is free from these attributes. Anevam lakshane eva shuddhe atmani rajo sarpam eva kalpayate. He projects these attributes upon the self, which is actually free from these attributes, like what? Like the rope snake. Just as the snake is superimposed upon the rope snake is superimposed upon the rope, so also Atma, the pure Atma, is free from these attributes. Superimposing these attributes upon the Atma, Atma first projects the Jiva. Atma himself projects himself as Jiva. Is it clear? This is the first sentence. This needs more explanation. I'll give you again. I'm going to translating the Bhashyam. Translation of the Bhashyam, then explanation of the Bhashyam has to come later on. Tataha tadarthena. Then what happens? Tataha thereafter tadarthena. And for the sake of the Jiva. So first, he himself superimposed these attributes falsely upon himself, who is actually free from these attributes, like the superimposition of the snake upon the rope. He projected Jiva. What's different between Jiva and Ishvara now? Jiva and Atma. Atma is free from all these attributes. Jiva has these attributes. When the Atma has these attributes, Atma becomes Jiva. As though Atma has become the Jiva. Minus these attributes, Jiva is Atma. Atma with these attributes is Jiva. Is it understood now? Atma without these attributes, Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, without cause and effects, Atma is, Jiva is Atma. Atma with the cause and effects, connections, and Atma with his attributes is Jiva. And this is what is the attributes? Falsely superimposed attributes. Rajo sarpaha iva. Okay. This is how first Atma projects Jiva out of himself. Next. Tataha thereafter. Tadarthyena. Now the Jiva has come. He is sitting here. He needs something. Okay. For his entertainment. Not entertainment. I'm just joking. For the sake of this Jiva, for the purpose of his enjoyment, then what? My God. Bahya. It says, Kriya karaka pala bedena pranadin nana vidhan bhavan bahyan adhyatmikam chaiva kalpayate. Only for the sake of Jiva, he projects, he creates this internal, external worlds of objects of countless number of forms, names and functions such as prana, etc. In the form of what? With difference such as kriya, karaka, phala, bhedena. Let me make it very clear. Why kriya, karaka, phala, bhedena? First he create a world of objects. So here, Jagat means what? Now you know very well. The external world of objects. Bahyaha. Bahyaha bhavaha. Adhyatmikaha bhavaha. Internal, external objects of experience which constitute the whole prapancha. Everything has brought into manifestation. Existence. So when you say prapancha means we should think only of this world. All the 14 verses must remember. Okay. Bhagavan created his entire universe of 14 worlds. Okay. In keeping with the punya palms of the Jiva. We are going to see that later on. This adhyatmikan, bahyan, nanavidhan, nanavidhan, bhavan, bahyan, adhyatmikan, kalpayate. This world and external objects such as includes what? One's own body, mind, sense organs, organs of actions, everything. So prana adin, he says. Prana, etc. Everything Bhagavan projected. For whose sake? Tadarthena. For the sake of Jiva. For the purpose of Jiva. Now here, kriya karaka phala bhedena, with this difference of, kriya stands for actions, all the actions also. See, knowledge, you had to include this, knowledge of how to do. For the desire also has to come, isn't it? We're going to see all the differences now. Only these three words, kriya means actions. And to perform an action, what do you need? Accessories required for performing actions. Without the accessories, how can you perform actions? So, when actions and action required for performing an action, accessories required for performing an action. Karakani. Then, results of actions. Actions, accessories required for performing actions, and the results of actions. With this difference, prana adin, prana, etc. Just he used only one word, prana. He doesn't want to give a list of things. Okay. Everything can include mind, sense organs, organs of actions, prana, physiological functions, everything. This nana vidhan, multifarious varieties of our internal, external objects constituting the universe of universe. All of them he created. This is the literal translation of the Bhashyam. The Bhashyam itself needs elaboration. So what does he mean by kriyakaraka phala bedaha? Now I had explained what? First of all, shuddha, we had to understand every word here. Hetu palatmakaha jivaha. I simply said jiva is in the form of cause and effects. Jiva is one who is nothing but what? In the form of cause and effects. What does it mean? So here, for the explanation comes, aham karomi. I am the doer that notion jiva entertains. Okay? That is expressed in the form of his sentence, aham karomi, I do. Mama sukha dukhe, I have pain and pleasure. That statement reveals his having a very strong notion of jiva being the enjoyer. So these two notions are mutually, these two notions become mutually cause and effect. Okay? Action, I am the doer means the action he performs. The action becomes what? Action produces result. A kartrutvam makes him perform the action. Isn't it? I am the doer, notion is not there. He cannot do. He can physically do something. A person does not have the notion as a jnani, he is free. But a person performs the action with a strong identity in the body, mind, sense complex. And he performs the actions with the notion, I am the doer. Then this action performed becomes the cause. He becomes the cause. As a doer, jiva becomes the cause. Having the wrong notion that he is the doer, jiva becomes the cause. Why? The actions produce results. And the results is, you know, he cannot escape from results. And as an enjoyer, having the strong notion I am the enjoyer, he becomes the one who exhausts the results of actions also. So, because having the notion I am the doer, he becomes the cause. As having the notion I am the enjoyer, he becomes the effect also. Action is the cause. Experience of pain, pressure is the effect. Phalam, isn't it? Hetu phalatmakaha jivaha. As a doer, he himself becomes the cause of what he goes through in life. As the enjoyer, whatever he does, he is the responsible. What he goes through, he himself becomes the cause also. Jiva is of the nature of, is in the form of causes and effects. Entertaining the strong notions, I do. I go through pain and pleasure. I have pain and pleasure, etc. This is the jiva. And jiva, this jiva, Atma himself projects out of himself only, where superimposing these attributes such as doership, enjoyership, etc., I am the door, I am the enjoyer, etc., notion, etc., upon the self, like the superimposition of the rope, snake upon the rope, he superimposes. But actually, Atma is free from these attributes. Anevam lakshanaha, not evam lakshanaha. Atma is not of this definition. Atma who is not of this definition, Atma is free from these notions. Anevam lakshane shuddhe atmani. He projects the jiva out of himself simply by superimposing these notions which are not there. The pure Atma. Pure. Free from these things. So first is what? Jiva srishtihi. So Gaudapada Acharya, just the question was what? What is the root cause of the projections, the worlds? He starts with the jiva. Because this person is asking only of the bhavas. See, what is the question? What is the root cause of all the objects which constitute the whole jagat? Why don't you ask the question, who is the root cause of the jiva? So the whenever they talk about the whole creation, creation does not mean only the objects of experience. Creation is inclusive of what? The experiencer. There's a creation of the experiencer, creation of the experienced world. So creation means the creation is a projection. It is a projection, which is a whole, and the whole is inclusive of the experiencer, jiva, and experienced world. There's not just one jiva. From one atma, countless number of jivas. That is why all jivas are one atma. Atma is not any jiva. And the jivas are many. Because jivas are manifestations of atma. Projections. Isn't it? Self-projected are the jivas. You're going to see later on, very beautiful explanation is going to come. So this, all these jivas, all are one. Okay? They're all not the same. Why not the same? Because that's why all are not equal. All are one, all are not equal. That's why some jivas come here. Some jivas go to higher lokas. So the jivas also we had to differentiate the jivas. How many jivas are there? How many types of jivas are there? Jivas who have only punyam in their account. They are punya pradhanaha jivaha. They are papa pradhanaha jivaha. The jivas, my God, only papam, papam, papam. Then punya papa mishra pradhanaha jivaha. The jivas who are a mixture of both punyam and papam. Even the proportion may vary from person to person. And this jivas have their own account. So, what determines the birth of the jiva? We are going to see later on. I mean, I have to take a lot of things. It is the karma. Punya papa karma. Punya papa karma, jiva has his account alone, becomes the cause. What caused the creation? So we can say the two words we use. Ultimately, absolutely, the creator of everything is Ishvara. We say jiva, Ishvara, jagat karanam Ishvaraha, we say. Then the statement is, Ishvara is only general cause, samanya karanam, atma as Ishvara, atma or Brahma as Ishvara becomes only a samanya karanam, general cause. But which means there can be a thought of bringing the universe into manifestation on the part of Ishvara. But still, Atma as Ishvara can have thought of bringing the universe into manifestation. But still, which type of universe he should create? That is not determined by Ishvara. The type of creation is not determined by Ishvara. What determines then? Karma. That is why the results of actions in terms of karma is the visesha karanam in this creation. Okay. So karma means what? Punya papam. So punya papa means implies what? The one who has earned the punya. Who has the one who has earned the punya papa? Jiva. Who is the jiva who has the wrong notion, I am the enjoyer? Why did he earn? Because he has the wrong notion, he is the doer. He did the karma. So jiva, having the wrong notion as the doer, performing actions and becomes the enjoyer, the one has punya papam. Therefore, karma becomes the visesha karanam, specific cause for the creation. Karma is the specific cause of the creation, even though Ishvara is the general cause of the creation. Therefore, we can say, karma implies it is the jiva who specifically contributes for creation.
Ishvara is kamafaladatta.
Yeah, that's different. That's different. Why creation comes into manifestation? That is different. We'll understand that. Visesha karanam and samanya karanam. Ishvara has only samanya karanam. Jiva is the visesha karanam. This jiva is none other than Atma himself. How? I have given the very, very basic literal meaning of the words we have read today. I need to explain very clearly. We'll come back and see tomorrow. Because tomorrow we need a lot of time for this. Okay? Om. Om. Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate.